So, what we'll try to do is to construct a universal finite time invariant. First for knots, and then as time allows, we'll try to extend it to not equivalent graphs in a way that respects the operations on them. So first of all, let me remind you what it means for something to be a universal finite type invariant. We're looking for a Z that goes from knots to the algebra A, which is core diagrams mode out by the one-term or Fermi independence and four-term relations. And universality means, or is equivalent to, the fact that Z on a singular knot that has a core diagram D should be the core diagram D plus higher order terms. So the first term that appears in Z of that singular knot should be its own core diagram. So such a construction is called the Concievich integral. It's due to Concievich, and I'll just write the formula down first. It looks pretty scary, at least it looked pretty scary to me, and then I'll go through the whole thing and explain what everything means in it. So the first step is that we think of R3 as C cross R. So on the XY plane, we think of as the convex plane, and then there's an extra R coordinate, which will be denoted by T. So this is denoted by Z. And we'll embed the knot in R3 in a way that all the critical points are either minima or maxima. This is called the Morse embedding. So let me embed a trefoil. And also we want all the critical points to be at a different level. So no two of them should have the same t coordinate. If two of them have the same t coordinate, then you just wiggle one of them a little bit. Okay, and then here's the formula. It's a sum as m goes from 0 to infinity of integrals of sums, where we sum over something called P for pairing. And that's what the integral is. Okay, so let me go through the whole formula and explain what everything is. This is just an infinite summation, so no problem with that. What is this? This is an m-dimensional simplex. So the integration domain, for each summand, it's an m-dimensional integral, and the integration domain is a simplex defined by this. What is t min and t max? T min is simply the lowest t coordinate on the knot, and t max is the highest. So t1, t2, blah blah blah, tm has to be between these two, and they have to be ordered. So t1, t2, t3, etc. So that defines a simplex, right? If we just think about m equals 2, say this is the minimal, this is the max. Then, so this will be T1, this is T2, and then the simplex is that, where it's a triangle where T2 is bigger than T1. Now that's not completely right, because there's critical points in between, and we insist that the Ti have to be non-critical. So those critical points will say we have one critical point here. Those critical points will cut up the simplex into some connected components. So T2 cannot be the critical value, and T1 cannot be the critical value either. So we'll integrate on a domain that has a bunch of connected components like that. Is that okay so far? So we are good with what we are integrating on. Now, what is this summation? This P is a pairing, the Zi are choices of points on the knot. So for example, if T1 is here, then we have to choose two points on the knot which are at height T1. If T1 is here, like between the minimum and the first crit, then there is only one possible such choice. But for example, if we are above that crit, for example here, then I can make the choice here, and also make it this and that, or this and that, or this and that, etc. So between the minimum and the first critical point, this summation has only one term, and then after the first critical point, like below here and here, it will have 4 choose 2, that's 6 terms, and so on. So the number of pairings will be constant for each connected component of the integration domain, and maybe different between the different connected components. So let's say we have we are in m equals 4. We have 4 times T's. Okay. And these, so this is the ZI and the ZI prime, I mean the corresponding Z coordinate. The ZI and the ZI prime have to be continuous function of the time on that connected component of the domain. So so if I move T1 a little bit, but it doesn't jump over a critical point, then the Z1 will have to, the Z1 and the Z1 prime will have to slide on and off. And the same for the other ones. So that's the summation over pairing. Now this sign is easy, the knot is oriented. And this down arrow is just the number of the points ZI and ZI prime which are on a descending strand of the knot. So this is on an ascending strand, and then this is 1, 2, then these don't count, 3, 4. So here P down arrow would be 4. And so P down arrow would be 4, so the sign would be +1 for that particular example. Let me write something. P is the pairing. Number of ZI or ZI prime on descending strands. And then what else? That's just nothing to say about that, that's just a normalization term. Then the DP is the interesting one. So once you have this picture, you construct a chord diagram out of it by simply, so the knot is a map from S1 to R3, right? So you just take the pre-images of Z1 and Z1 prime and connect them by a chord, and then take the pre-images of Z2 and Z2 prime, connect them by a chord, etc. So it's just a chord diagram defined by these coordinates. So let's draw it. Z1 and Z1 prime, that's an isolated chord. So this would be number one. And then Z2, Z2 prime, that is parallel to Z1 and Z1 prime. So this is the second one. And then Z3 prime, if you go along the knot, it's Z3, then Z2, Z1, Z1, 1, 2, and then Z3 prime, so that's also parallel to the first two. And then the last one, if you go around the knot, it's Z4, then Z3, then Z4 prime, then Z2, Z1, Z1 prime, Z2 prime, and then Z3 prime. So Z4 was what was between Z4 prime is between Z3 and Z2. So there, and the other one was before Z3, so like that. take the pre-image of the court. And that's the court diagram corresponding to the pairing. And then this one is just a differential form. It's an n-dimensional integral, and that's the thing that you're integrating, an n-dimensional complex integral. Okay, so a couple of notes. For m equals zero, the whole thing doesn't really make sense, right? We need to choose zero pairings and then integrate a zero form. So just by definition, we declare that the zeroth term of the whole thing is one. What do we mean by one? It's the court diagram with no courts.
But that's for a non-singular not k?
That's for a non-singular not k.
So
for a singular not, you do the exact same thing. There, double point equals overcrossing minus undercrossing. So you resolve all the singularities and then add the 2 to the k results. Both sides. And then note that it also makes sense not just for a knot but any tangle, as long as the top and the bottom are fixed. So you can also delete. So tangle is just think of it as like a knot piece, or it can have a link piece, is what a tangle is. That is obvious, you just put it in the same picture. And the problems that we run into with tangles is exactly the same as the problems that we run into with knots, which I will explain in a moment. So if you look at that thing, even if all that I said about what is what, even if that all makes sense, which is unlikely if you're like me, but even if it all makes sense, it's highly non-obvious that, for example, that the integral is convergent, so that all the coefficients of the court diagrams will be finite numbers. That's the first thing that needs some proof. And then secondly, it's very highly non-obvious that this is an invariant. Because the way it's defined, it's completely dependent on how exactly we embedded the knot in R3. So if I embed the same knot in some very different way, how is it guaranteed that we'll get the same result? And in fact, we will not. We will almost get the same result, and then we'll need to add in a little correction term to fix it. But this is the first approximation of the invariant that we are trying to construct. So first of all, let's try to prove that it is convergent. So, the only problem that we might run into is when the denominator of the form that we are integrating is small, right? Because if the thing that we are integrating was bounded, and we are integrating on a bounded domain, then we would get a convergent, like a finite thing. Now the problem is that this is not bounded because we have a denominator which is zi minus zi prime. When is zi minus zi prime very small? It's when you're near a critical point. Here's zi t, and here's zi prime t, and when you move t very close to the critical point, then that chord gets very short. So the zi minus zi prime absolute value will be going to zero, and that's going to happen as you're approaching a critical point, meaning that you're in some connected component, you're approaching the boundary of that connected component. So why is that not a problem? There's two cases. Either this zi zi prime is the chord that's closest to the top. So if the pairing is such that that this chord is the highest one before this critical point, then what is the chord diagram corresponding to this picture? And this chord, because it's near the critical point and there's nothing between the chord and the critical point, this would be a chord like that, with nothing in between here. But that's an isolated chord, which makes the whole diagram zero, right? So if zi or ci or chord, if this chord is the highest chord before the critical point, then we don't even have to worry about what the integral is, because the dp would be zero. So we don't care what the integral is. By the framing independence or one-term relation. Now, what's the other case? The other case is when the last chord is not a chord like this, but a chord that goes from one of these strands to some faraway part of the knot. Now the trick is then that when you just so that's an m-dimensional integral. If you just correspond the two-dimensional integral that corresponds to these two chords, so you could bring them in to be the innermost ones by what is that called, Fubini's theorem or whatever. So if you just consider the double integral that corresponds to these two chords, you'll find that this chord, ck plus 1, and this chord, ck, the domain for ck plus 1 will be very small because it's squeezed between the CK and the critical point, right? It can't go over the critical point because then it would be a different P, and it can't go under CK because they have to be ordered. So the integration domain for this one, which has a long length, will be very short, and then and that shortness will cancel out the shortness of the denominator of this point. So when I first heard that argument, I didn't get it. I only got it when I read it in a paper and went through it. Like, it took me about 2 days, which is because my complex analysis is bad, or like my analysis in general. But so I want to give you the choice. If you want, I'll write it out and do the actual, like, write out that double integral, and we'll see that it comes out to be finite, or I can just leave it at that. So let's take a vote. Everybody must vote. Do you want me to integrate? One, do you want me to not integrate? A few, okay. So. This is the integral. You integrate from T, K to T crit. So this is the integral corresponding to C, K plus 1. And what you want to show is that it's proportional to the length of this chord. Okay. So that's just by definition dzk plus 1 minus dzk plus 1 prime over it's very simple. What you do is you say that because this is a far away part of the knot, there's some minimum distance between that strand and the part of the knot where this happens. So you can just forget that there's something in the denominator and just say it's a constant times that, and then you just, that's actually d of something, so how do you integrate d of something? Fundamental theorem of calculus. So you plug in, and you find that it's proportional to that length. And then when you do the double integral, then this length will be in the denominator, and that result will be in the numerator, so they cancel that. So it's convergent. But remember, if we have time at the end to think about how it works for knotty travel and graphs, remember that this relation that the isolated chord makes the chord diagram zero kind of saves the day, because if it wasn't for that relation, then this situation would be trouble. Then it would be divergent, and then we'd have to do something else. And what happens for trival and graphs is that this situation cannot be avoided, so something else has to be done about it. Should I erase? No. what I think is the most beautiful thing about this is the fact that it's, if not invariant, but pretty much invariant. And that...
You mean almost invariant.
Almost
right?
Invariant. So, the most important ingredient that goes into that is the fact that it's invariant under horizontal deformations that leave the critical points fixed. What does that mean? If we have something like that, say there's a critical point here, and there's a critical point here, then we'll leave the critical point fixed. But other than that, we can do whatever we please. So we do not move the critical point, we do not introduce new critical points, but the strands between the critical points, you can wiggle them any way you like. And the theorem is that Z is invariant under this these deformations. So the proof of this involves a really nice idea and then some somewhat nasty computations. So I thought I would tell you the nice idea and then skip the nasty computations. The idea is to use Stokes' theorem. So how does that work? What we'll do is to just prove this for tangles that are, I guess I forgot to tell you a couple of things that are almost obvious but important. So if you cut up the knot into tangles and then just compute Z for each of those tangles, you can then glue them together to get the Kontsevich integral of the whole thing. And that's called the factorization property of the Kontsevich integral, meaning that if you have two tangles, you know, you can multiply tangles if the, like, if top of one of them fits the bottom of the other one. Then you can just stack them on top of each other and they become a new tangle. So the Kontsevich integral commutes with that. So I'll write that here. Why can you stack? Because Z of T1 is a chordiagram on the tangle T1. And Z of T2 is a chordiagram on the tangle T2. So you can just stack them, you get the new chordiagram on T1 times T2. So it's enough to prove the theorem for tangles that have no crits inside them. And then that means you slice the knot, like you cut out a thin slice around each critical point. And then the theorem will be true for all the tangles that are between two critical points, And then you take a limit, like these slices become thinner and thinner, and because the critical points stay fixed, that the result will give you the theorem for the knot. So the first point is that it's enough to prove for tangles without braids. And if I'm not mistaken, that's exactly braids. And then number two, and here's a nice idea. What you do is you take this deformation as a like a continuous deformation from one of these tangles to the other. So say T0 to T1, there's a deformation T lambda. So like at time 0, your tangle is the original. At time 1, your tangle is the new one. And lambda is the continuous deformation. T lambda is the continuous deformation between them. And let's denote by omega the differential form inside the thing that you're integrating without this normalization term. And what is the domain for, if you look at each T lambda, none of them have any critical points, so you're integrating on the entire simplex, right? So there's nothing cutting the simplex up into connected components, so you're just integrating on the whole thing. So delta lambda is the entire simplex for T lambda. Yes, exactly. So I didn't talk about that, but quirk diagram, when you compute conservative integral of a thing, you get quirk diagrams on that thing. So the skeleton of the quirk diagram would be the tangle. Yes, so we have a 4T relation for tangles and one term or framing independence relation for tangles. And it's the same. That's a very good point.
If you want to get such things to get the code like
you just have a tangle some way. And then you have cords on. So you just put cords on the tangles. And there's a tangle forter relation which if you complete the tangle to be a knot, then you would get the knot forter relation back from it.
So you want to remember only from the tutorial that you have to number the strands?
You have to number the strands, exactly. So you would have like an ordering of all tangles. We only consider cords that are horizontal, and you would have like an order, like first a cord goes from strand 1 to strand 2, then from strand 2 to strand 4. So for each time lambda, we integrate over the entire simplex. So what we want to consider is the manifold, the simplex corresponds, well, the lambda is really always the n-dimensional simplex, the same n-dimensional simplex. So we consider simplex cross interval, so interval is 0, 1, so that's going to be the lambda coordinate, and this is a smooth manifold, and then Stokes' theorem says that if we integrate over, so let's call this delta. So we integrate over the boundary of delta, the form, that's the same as integrating over delta d of the form. And that form happens to be exact, meaning that if you take d of it, it's zero. So this part is zero. So what we have is that if you integrate omega over the boundary, then you get zero. Now, what is the boundary? Let's try to draw this simplex. So here's delta zero. Here's the interval. This is delta 1. So what is the boundary? The boundary is delta 0 minus delta 1. There's a minus because there's an orientation induced on the boundary by the orientation of the manifold. And then plus some integrals over the faces. The faces are these things. So you have that if you integrate over delta 0 omega minus you integrate over delta 1 omega plus you integrate over faces omega, that equals 0. What is the thing that you're looking for? You're looking for the same thing without the faces, right? Because you want to show that if you integrate over delta 0 or you integrate over delta 1, that's going to be the same. And so what we want to do is to show that the integral of omega over the faces is 0. And that's what I'm not going to do. So what are the faces? The faces are when either T1 equals the minimum or the last one, Tm equals the maximum, or some Ti and Ti plus 1 coincides. Now, these are the things that do not that are not part of the conservative integral as it's defined, but you can extend to include them and then compute and find that they are zero. And then what you get in the end is that the difference between delta 0 and the difference between delta 1 is 0, which is exactly what we were looking for, that z of t 0 is the same as z of t 1. Does that make some sense? No.
Even if it starts at this closed form, it kind of folded, you can move something and not change the integral. This thing is a bit singular.
So you don't have any critical points. So there is no singularity where it is infinite, right? So it's just a rate. How did we manage to get rid of the singularities? We slice the knot around each singularity. And we prove the theorem for the braid that goes from here to here. And then for the braid that goes from here to here. And then for the braid that goes from there to there. So these are all braids that have no singularities. And then we have skipped little tiny parts around the singularities, but you can take them to be as narrow as you want. So you
but
just the take
intervals are finite. The intervals are still finite on this on the domains.
The integral is still finite, but because you don't, because the horizontal deformations don't move the critical point, you can take the limit as...
They don't move the critical point, but maybe see on the second critical point from above, you have two more strands under them. Like the two strands on the right of the critical point. They are moving and the difference is changing.
So I think at the moment you're only proving invariants under horizontal deformations, not only that don't move the critical points, but that happen at times when there are no critical points.
I see.
Okay?
Yeah, you're right.
So you fix the whole critical level and you only prove invariants under horizontal deformations at times that do not move the critical levels. Later you have to do extra work, and I hope that you will tell us how to do it. But maybe we should do it after the break?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So can I assume that this is okay then? And
okay.
Then after the break, we move the critical point.